Scott Allen. This is from War Demons by Russell Newquist.
He'd missed a lot of things about Georgia. The August heat was not among them. Despite growing up here, he'd never truly gotten used to the southern summers. He heard a noise behind him and turned, greeting the older man with a nod. The pair stood in silence for a time, paying their respects. His friend had spared no expense on the beautiful stone, nestled in amongst the others in the small private graveyard. Some of the well-preserved stones dated back to pre-colonial times. The older man broke the silence.
After all this time, I still never know what to say.
I always know what to say, the younger man replied. But no matter how many times I say I'm sorry, it's never enough. The older man frowned at him.
It wasn't your fault, Michael.
If I'd made the flight, she'd have been at the airport to pick me up. She'd have been well out of the way.
Sometimes we have less control over things than we think we do.
Michael shifted awkwardly and looked away. The point hit too close to home. James Covington let it go.
This is from The Fall of an Overlord by Kevin Potter.
Yes, your supreme divinity. It shall be as you say. You stupid, pompous excuse for an overlord, Calandrian added silently, careful to veil his mind from his master's telepathic probing. And what of... came the rumbling hiss, cutting him off. After a moment's silence, the garnet overlord added,
Do not speak a foul name.
His voice was a sibilant whisper, yet it carried across the vast mountainous cavern. The soft, menacing sound echoed back and forth between the bare, magically reinforced stone walls, bouncing off massive mounds of gold and silver and reflecting from piles of gems and jewels. It rang in the hollows of numerous stacks of ancient human-sized weapons and armor.
My apologies, Master, Calandrian said, lowering his triangular blue-scaled head and long arching neck to within inches of the cavern floor, in the draconic form of prostration. He dared not raise an eye while his master was this volatile.
This is from Soft Inheritance by C.E. O'Grady.
Waking from a lapse to an audience of 200 was finally an opportunity to utilize one of my many practice fobs, yet I blurted out nonsense and acted the fool. I was not ready. I drank a glass of water and told myself to calm down. Leaning back and closing my eyes, I focused on my breathing. Muscles unclenched and my pulse stopped throbbing as I drifted slowly away from the lecture and the war. Bit by bit, the memory moved into focus, relaxing and allowing it to build in my head. I lost sight of the world as Dr. Chamberlain Shea. Raw emotions and vivid colors tugged at my brain. I leapt into the mind of one of my most ancient Celtic relatives, a small boy.
Twistin' and jerkin', Da reminds me of the fish we caught. The four men dragging Da ignore his screams. They disappear into the dark and Ma takes my hand. We follow the path Da's body carves in the mud. My bare feet absorb the cold ground and I know not to complain. We walk through the dark to a group huddled at the center of the dun. I want to run to the warmth near the lit torches people hold, but Ma stops us short and pulls me into the shadows. What is happening, Ma? She does not answer and holds me more tightly.